I only remember the idea or message. Therefore, though I will stay true to what he told us, the order of the words or sentences I'll transcribe as best as my memory serves me. If at this very moment you'd stop reading, close your eyes and try to remember word for word a conversation or a lecture that happened 4 years ago, you could not. I'm sure that also you would only be able to remember the idea and not every word. I will do my very best to faithfully transcribe his revelations, given that 4 years have passed since my initial experience. After stating his first words, he noticed that he didn't quite have our undivided attention. The truth was that we were disturbed by the presence of the little men with the bulging eyes. He then told us not to be afraid of the Amors. As he said this, he took one of them in his arms as if it was a small child. The creature wrapped his arms around his neck and his thin legs around his waist. As if carrying a chimpanzee, the man put his hand on the small being's chin and turned his grotesque head from side to side while telling us that there was no reason to be afraid of them since they were not harmful. They're made by his people. Genetically constructed, he told us. The Amor only blinked slowly, expressionless. Even after he told us this, they were still repugnant to me, in my opinion. At least now I had stopped thinking about demons and I began to have a notion of what was happening, impossible as it seemed. They were from another world, another planet. They weren't demons after all. I actually thought that this Amaran looked too much like an Earthling to be an extraterrestrial. On the other hand, I could see it for the little ones with the fetal heads. Them I could consider extraterrestrial, but what did I know? He spoke to us again. We have brought you here to show you some projections. The images you are about to see will seem real to you, but they're not. They are multidimensional projections. They will appear to have mass, consistency and palpable qualities. What you will see will be emotionally and spiritually strong. Keep in mind that what you'll be seeing is not really happening. We'll begin with the first one. Chapter 3, Projection Number 1. The first projection was really extraordinary. We were very impressed with the sudden change in what we were seeing around us. All of a sudden, the room without dimensions vanished and all around us a valley appeared. From a distance you could see the mountain silhouettes, trees, grass, and the night sky. You could see how the wind moved the branches in the trees, but you couldn't feel the wind. The effect of this projection was incredible. What one's used to seeing in a movie theater doesn't come close. It was totally realistic. The projection was all around us and it took us to that place without moving. We all remained in the same position. The three other beings were still in the same spot. Something that caught my attention was that the strange chairs we were sitting on also transformed into part of that projection we were witnessing. It was part of the grass that surrounded us. The strange human remained silent while his small companions were still at his side motionless. My eyes adjusted to the darkness and I started seeing more clearly. That place looked like it was in the island. You couldn't see houses or lamp posts. Another curious detail was that there wasn't any sound. If indeed these images had been taken in the island, you really couldn't hear the night sounds, like from the crickets or koi's. The only sound I heard was my own breathing. For the most part, it always felt like I was out of breath and I was still paralyzed. For a moment, stupidly I thought about getting up from my seat, or whatever it was, and running through that valley. But, where exactly would I go? Running against a wall? If indeed it was walls that surrounded that place we were in. My absurd thoughts were interrupted by his serene voice. "Observe the sky," he said. Like school children guided by our teacher, we all looked up at the same time. It was so real. I even saw a shooting star. The silence, however, made me uncomfortable. I tried everything to control my panic. As we watched the splendor of the night sky, he told us not to be alarmed. At that moment our seats started to move individually to get a better view. They made no sound. Now the teenager that was at my right side was behind me. Slowly we turned counterclockwise until we were again facing the human. The movement itself wasn't rough, but slow and circular. As soon as we stopped turning, he informed us that we would be taking a trip. All of a sudden it seemed like we were taking off. The ground looked further and further away, yet we could still feel it beneath our feet. I thought I would fall and lose consciousness. My body became even more tense and felt it about to snap. I considered that maybe all this wasn't really happening, that it was just a horrible nightmare. We kept climbing and I had to close my eyes. I was still under the impression that I would fall. I then remembered what the human guide had told us about it only being a projection and I opened my eyes. We now found ourselves over the trees. I couldn't resist though. It seemed too real to be just a projection, so I closed my eyes again. With a great effort I managed to put my hands beneath my legs. It was then that I realized I could move. My head was about to explode and I felt nauseous. All of a sudden we stopped climbing and I opened my eyes. With my face covered in sweat and tears I looked at the man and his artificial beings. Surprisingly, they looked as if suspended in mid-air, not floating, but more like standing firmly on an invisible platform. I suppose that from their perspective, we would have looked like we were suspended in air also, seated on invisible chairs. They had stopped us a little further up from the trees. One could see the ocean's reflection in the distance. The feeling of being that high had me terrorized. My body was trembling uncontrollably. The mountain silhouettes looked like hills. I didn't want to look, yet I also couldn't look away from what I was witnessing around me. "We are located over your world," he said. Again we slowly started to climb. I kept telling myself this was only an illusion, a movie or sorts, and that I shouldn't be afraid. However, it was of no use. A smog and smoke engulfed us and I realized that we were going through some clouds. We were leaving Earth behind, beneath our feet. I felt rage and anger towards those small creatures that had brought to this hell. The human again reminded us to keep in mind that what we were observing were only projected images. Personally, I still found it hard to believe. We kept climbing until we saw Earth the size of a basketball. We stopped when it got to be the size of a golf ball. In those agony-filled moments I realized that I hadn't paid any attention to the other 14 people. I could barely stand my own situation. Though I assure you no one spoke, I'm pretty sure I heard some sighing, crying, and vomiting or trying to. I can only say I felt very insignificant when facing such grandeur. I thought about that night in Mama's house when the power went out, the night of the stars. Was there any connection? Although we were supposedly far away from Earth, the stars looked as far away as from the planet's surface. Not knowing exactly how or when, the dizziness and nausea gave way to marvel and fascination. While observing the sky and the stars, there appeared a circle of light, like a halo. The human informed us that the star encircled in the halo was located around his home planet's neighborhood, but that the actual star or sun around which his planet revolved was much further away. He told us that as we were headed, suddenly the stars seemed to move, but it was actually us that were moving. I had always thought that the stars were scattered between the moon and the planets, but if this trip was genuine, it's not like that at all. We sped up, and with the speed came back the vertigo. The halo was gone and the stars turned into colored rays of light. We crossed the supposed space at tremendous speed. It felt as being in a whirlwind of colors. Now it seemed we started to slow down. The colors turned to white, rays that formed a sort of tunnel. Then again we saw the stars. Amongst them was an enormous one that looked very close to us. Around you could see what seemed to be planets. Again I could see the halo around that star. The human told us that this was Ka's sun, and that Ka was the mother planet of that solar system and to all those who inhabit all the planets in that system. The first humans of that solar system were created and placed on Ka. When this part of humanity extended throughout the entire planet and there was no more room left, they emigrated and formed colonies in the neighboring planets. When saturated, they repeated the process. In many of these planets there weren't the necessary elements to sustain human life or that of their animals, but they were able to condition such planets to sustain all kinds of life. They created seas where there were none and they transformed the atmospheres to make them suitable. In the same manner, have other humanities across the infinite cosmos done this? The human sentenced. But of course, with one exception. They have indeed expanded, created, and grown both physically and spiritually. But in your world, the one you call Earth, you've done nothing but destroy, contaminate and spiritually decline. You've even contaminated your sidereal space, your supposed far horizons. All of Ka's sons are auto-sufficient, but its loving government comes from the mother planet. Now we will go to Ka. We felt a tremendous movement that led us to one of the planets, the one closest to that bright star. You could see various clouds, and the more we approached it, the more it looked like Earth. We started descending towards Ka, or whatever that place was. Its topography was different from ours. What looked like firm land occupied a great deal of the planet's surface. Instead of big fragments of land, such as we know as continents, there was only one that's surrounded by an ocean. Maybe there were more, but at least we couldn't see them. We went down through white shiny clouds. Its hills, the green, and its rock formations were pretty much identical to Earth. I did notice something different, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. The most notable difference, and I was able to verify this later, was the abundance of flowers everywhere. All kinds of wild and garden flowers that had bright and attractive colors. The blue sky dotted with cotton stains, the flora's green accentuated with multiple flower colors, and the blue sea made this place the stuff of dreams. In spite of all this, the notion of height still destroyed any moment of fascination that I had. It was a sunny day with only a few scattered clouds. In the distance I started to make out what looked like an Indian village. We stopped over a beautiful forest just at a prudent distance from the village. I could see animals moving between the trees, but I couldn't make out what kind of animals they were. I could also see people running and walking. The human, still in his original position with the little beings at his side, told us, "Welcome to my home planet, Ka. Now, meet my people." We all started to slide through the air, over the trees, towards the village or town. As we drew closer, I started to realize that what had looked like tents were actually pyramid-shaped structures. They were made out of some type semi-transparent multicolored polished glass. We were told that these pyramids were the homes of this group of people. Some actually looked like inverted cones, others like funnels, but each made out of the same glass or even some sort of plastic. They were all brightly colored. Instead of roads, there were trails and there were flowers everywhere. The houses were arranged in a circle and in the center a plaza in the form of a square surrounded by flowers. The entire ground looked like it was made of a grass carpet that was permanently and evenly cut. In the enormous plaza there were trees and what looked like some sort of pool. The pool was also constructed in that same material that looked like glass but light blue in color. It was so brilliant and colorful that it was almost unreal. The reds, turquoise blues, purples and many other colors of their houses, along with the rest of the colors of that place, complemented this whole visual explosion. I'd never seen such beauty. In the pool there were children and adults playing and bathing. Something I should mention, and maybe some of you will find it offensive, is that none of these people were wearing clothes. Our seats moved again and we were able to see everything around us. In the distance you could see other pockets of people similar to this one that connected with each other through some bigger trails. While we slowly turned, we descended, or at least we were under the impression we descended, to that plaza. The people surrounded us. All were naked and smiling at us. In the crowd you could see mothers carrying their children in their arms. Everyone looked very happy and in good health. The human told us that these were the Ka people. We saw people from every race, black, white, Asian, etc. They were all different heights and had different colored hairs. Our seats kept turning so we were able to get a good look. I imagined that these people who were waving at us were informed beforehand of the use those recorded images would be given. I think that they were smiling and waving at someone holding a camera. However, now it just gave the impression that they could actually see us. It was all incredibly real. How could this be just a projection? They all looked so alive. The only thing out of the ordinary was the silence. Although I could see them laughing, talking amongst themselves, we couldn't hear anything. Some women decorated their hair with different colored flowers. I even saw a dog barking in utter silence. If it hadn't been for the way in which their homes were built and the immense pool, I could have mistaken them for some tribe of primitive Indians. Are these people extraterrestrial? I asked myself. A tribe comprised of all the humans' races? But, where were their lasers, their robots and super high-tech cars? Where was their bright silver-colored clothing? And their houses, where were their imperial cities? Indians? Where were the 7-foot-tall beings with eyes in the forehead or little green men with antennae on their heads? We kept closing in and I could see various animals. The crowd gave way to those who were bringing out animals. A little boy showed us a lion, which he guided with the mane. We were showed hens, roosters, monkeys, and very beautiful birds. We were also able to see, to our astonishment, an animal already extinct on Earth, something akin to a dinosaur. Horses, cows, camels, and many others were we shown. We stopped and the crowd parted, as supposedly had done the Red Sea, and before our very eyes a gigantic pool appeared. Then, something spectacular happened. From its center came a water surge, like a fountain. The people cheered when they got wet. The happiness on their faces made me smile slightly. When the water column receded, 4 dolphins jumped in the air. What was amazing about this is that on their backs rode 4 little black children as if they were on horseback. When the dolphins reached their maximum height, the children took to the air doing a somersault and landing on the water at the same time as the dolphins. The people, who looked like they had glitter from the sun's reflection on their hair, clapped and laughed. The dolphins escorted the children to the side of the pool. The water again surged and the children came up to us, wet from head to toe, smiling and proud. They took each other's hands and bowed as actors would do at the end of a play. They then ran off in different directions. The Red Sea came together, the surge stopped and our chairs slowly came to a halt in front of the human and his 2 creatures. His voice startled me after all that silence. "This is my birthplace. We call this town No, which means in our tongue traveler. I am known as a No. There are many of us No's that have been born here. As you might have been able to tell, there aren't elderly people among us." It was true. There were no old people, only children and adults. He also informed us that his people didn't age or die. That life is continuous. They grow up to about the equivalent of 25 of our years and then they stop. They do suffer accidents though, and bleed, and feel pain, but their bodies are capable of regenerating very quickly. Their world is free from harmful bacteria, and if any traveler were to bring any back from faraway places, such bacteria would be exterminated before making contact with Ka's surroundings. While the travelers, the No's, are visiting planet Earth, or Creo, they try to avoid contact with harmful bacteria and germs as much as possible. In this sense, the creatures that they create, the Imors, are very useful. If, for any reason, they come in contact with harmful components to their human bodies, they are genetically capable of fighting these without the need of vaccines or medicine. However, this doesn't mean they don't suffer the discomfort that comes with said bacteria and germs. According to him, their bodies are capable of creating all kinds of antibodies that attack and destroy instantly anything that threatens their physiological systems. Their bodies possess a gland, which we also have, that secretes a series of substances that make them immune to sickness, after being affected one initial time. He also told us that our own bodies didn't function correctly because of the lack of balance and equilibrium that for generations we have prolonged. Generation after generation we have polluted our bodies with so many chemical substances that our bodies don't operate properly. Every time we take in more of these substances, either through food, medicine or illegal drugs, we keep getting weaker, regardless of any alleged advance in our medical sciences. The people that were projected all around us continued smiling and talking amongst themselves. The children were happy and running everywhere, and the animals that were brought to us, both known and unknown, were now being taken away. We started to climb again. The people didn't look at us as we departed. They only scattered. Slowly we glided through Ka's sky. In the distance I again saw several circular formations, similar to the one we had just visited. Again I saw many flowers, as well as rivers and beautiful lakes. You could also see the people enjoying these. None of them were aware of our presence. The landscape could really be described as paradise. The vegetation was abundant and the colors of the flowers really stood out. Though my breathing had returned to normal, the fear of falling from that high up was still with me. The human and his companion still stood in the same place. I could still feel ground beneath my feet, but it looked like we were flying. We all seemed to be moving at around 20 miles per hour. The landscape beneath our feet drew back like a big curtain. In the air you could see different birds as well as what we'd consider prehistoric flying animals. Though everything I was seeing was beautiful, my heart still harbored terror and panic. It beat in such a way that I was sure if I looked I'd see it beat through my white sweaty shirt. Was all this real? At the time I thought that maybe I had suffered an accident on the road of Labadura on my way from work and that maybe this was the other side. My mind slipped in and out from time to time so I wasn't sure what was real and what was not. Thought the human wearing the black clothes had told us about his home, I was still terribly confused. In this state of confusion, with my heart beating out of my chest and my eyes open like a dead fish, I kept gliding through Kar's sky with the others. We stopped over a place that looked like a farm. The fields were tended by hundreds of emus. They were harvesting something I couldn't make out and our guide didn't tell us. The emus looked like organized ants, each one carrying out their role under the Kar sun, which had the same characteristics as our own star on Earth, so far as could tell. We couldn't feel its heat though, since it was only a projection. We stood over that farm only for a short while. I managed to see many emus carrying some sort of boxes. I thought that maybe in them they were carrying whatever it is they were harvesting. They took them inside a big building that looked was made out of bricks. The color of the building was terracotta. I didn't see any vehicles around. They all walked on foot. From what I could tell from the height and distance that I was, they could have been harvesting potatoes or yams or something like that. I really couldn't be sure though. We left the farm and continued our journey. On the horizon we started to see what looked like a great city. When we got there I saw there were no people around. There were lots of majestic buildings made out of a solid-looking material resembling concrete or cement. They didn't have any windows and though I could not see any entrances I figured there had to be somewhere. Some of the buildings were rectangular-shaped and others squared. In the middle of all these grey buildings there was a great wonder, an enormous pyramid. It looked as if it was constructed out of the same material as the houses we'd just seen. It seemed as if were made out of polished precious stones or shiny different colored ice. The colors all fused together. The base of the pyramid was turquoise blue. This turned into a purple and then a fiery red at the very top. The seven wonders of our world couldn't compare to this monument. I watched in disbelief. My mind could barely take it. This great deserted city was indeed impressive. Flowers did not grow here and what appeared to be roads between the buildings were devoid of any form of life. Suspended in midair in front of the enormous pyramid he spoke again. This is the government center for the mother planet of Kar and for its descendants who inhabit the planets of this solar system in particular. According to our guide, this is where his father works as a helper in the affairs of the planets. Our guide's father is in charge of those operations that have to do with the observation of our planet Earth, or Creo, as they call it. He also told us the other square buildings were laboratories and that the Elmores were mass-produced in some of them. We didn't descend to this government center. We continued our journey, still seated, until we reached a place where there was no more vegetation and what appeared to be a desert came up. In the distance you could see something resembling an urban zone made up of houses with round metallic rooftops that reflected the sun. As we got closer I realized that what I was really seeing was just an extension of the desert filled with hundreds of circular vehicles, what are commonly known as flying saucers. All except three of these were the same size. Amongst all the crafts I saw a building of staggering proportions that looked like a granary. While we were apparently, suspended over this warehouse or airport, one of the ships left the ground and got close to us. It was immense, even bigger than a 747 airplane. We couldn't hear any sounds. It was very impressive. It had a circular shape, like two inverted plates one on top of the other. In the center of its upper part it had a dome that looked like it was made out of glass. Below in the center it had another dome identical to the one on the top. It was a smoky gray-blue color. When it got on top of us I noticed that beams came of the dome in the center up to the craft's edge which gave the impression of the sun and its rays. All of a sudden the vehicle climbed very high and it lit up, which really made it look like a real sun. It then descended and positioned itself below. Our chairs again started to turn. I really couldn't tell the bottom part of the object from its upper part since they looked identical. The ship again started to move and our chairs stopped right in front of the human and his two emus. A door of sorts opened from the edge of the upper part of the vehicle and from there a smaller one emerged. It was like a navy blue car with no wheels. This car ship had a glass top or something that looked like glass. It had many lights around it and when it passed over our heads I noticed it had lights in the bottom as well. Though the lights never actually turned on, they gave the impression they were lights. The auto UFO got closer and I could see the driver was a little boy and an emu was with him. It was as if the driver could see us suspended in midair because he raised his arm as if to greet us. The blonde blue-eyed boy started doing different maneuvers in the air. He was demonstrating his abilities. The smaller vehicle then went back inside the large craft, which descended to its original location. I saw everything so clearly, the sky, the different objects, how could they be so real? I still didn't have an answer, what I was seeing all around me was like a dream. One, the three larger vehicles left the ground. This one looked like it was the size of a baseball field. It went over our heads up to a point where it looked a little smaller. This time instead of another vehicle coming out of its interior, it divided itself into four parts, kind of like a cake or a pizza. Each portion had beneath it in its center a sort of dome, which looked like it was made out of the same material as the others we'd seen. They positioned themselves in a single line and one by one these triangles slowly flew over us. According to our human guide, these vehicles were solar-powered. The sweat poured down my forehead and into my eyes. Every now and then when I felt my circulation wasn't normal, it was as if thousands of needles were piercing through my skin. Sitting like that for such a long time was terrible. We then witnessed the four parts of this huge ship come together as one with great precision. It then descended and placed itself between the others. The smaller vehicles were blue-gray in color, like blue smoke, while the bigger ones were dark in color, like ash, almost black. From our position, suspended in the car sky, I couldn't see if these crafts landed on their bellies or if they used wheels or something else to do so. Our seats started to turn again until we were right in front of that gigantic silo-like structure. It looked like it was made out of aluminum. The human extraterrestrial told us that all their vehicles are built and repaired there. We didn't see any personnel there and we couldn't really see an entrance to that building. It was probably located on the side that we couldn't see. We then continued our flight and left that place in the desert behind. Though everything we were seeing was of great beauty, I again started to feel panic. Nothing could compare to the beauty of the trees, mountains, prairies, rivers, and most of all the flowers. All the colors stood out and were alive. The reds were redder, the green of the trees and grass even greener, and blue sky was indescribable. I felt at that point a lot of mixed emotions. On the one hand I was mesmerized, and on the other terrorized. A very particular combination of emotions I'd say. I wanted to stay in that place of extraordinary beauty, yet I also wanted to go back home in a hurry. Through this projection 15 human beings from Earth got to know the beautiful place where our kidnapper and two of his creatures with bulging eyes and large heads came from. But there was more to come. We got to a valley surrounded by mountains. There was an abundance of waterfalls and all kinds of vegetation and flowers of electrifying colors. We stopped and our seats commenced turning as they had done before. We slowly observed the gorgeous landscape. As we turned he spoke again. Observe this place well. This is how your earth should look like. In the beginning, where you come from was indeed designed this way.